four, five, we make it exactly. We can begin. Welcome to the December 12, 2012 Landmarks Preservation Commission meeting. First item is roll call. Those present are Chair McIntyre, Vice Chair Maddox, Commissioners, Chase, Eckley, Jensen, and ex officio McClintock and Buffington. Second item on the agenda is consent agenda. Excusable absences. Item A, Megan Luce, Commissioner Luce is called in. We have meeting minutes from November 14th, and we have a summary of administrative approvals. Are there any corrections to the minutes? All right. I move approval of consent agenda. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Third item on the agenda is item 3A is 565 Broadway, Elks McMenamins, revision to skylight design update. Staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I apologize, staff report is a little out of order. This is 3B on staff report.
Yes, I remember.
This is just an update. By way of background, the Elks McMenamins project is currently in its permitting. The commission has completed the design review on the building, and then subsequently there were some amendments to the design that have occurred. Most recently, on the 26th of September, the commission was presented with some amendments, including retention of the 1937 annex, in addition of a shed roof skylight in the center of the roof to allow for daylight in the upper floors of the temple, and the additional windows to the north wall of the annex. And at that time, the commission requested that the skylight be lowered to parapet level or be redesigned to be bilaterally symmetrical to complement the symmetry of the building, and also requested clarification of a single window that was on the fourth floor of the annex, which would be out of alignment. And then the direction at that point was administrative approval. On the 10th of October, I brought an update back to the commission. And in sum, it was that the skylight was both substantially lowered in height to reduce its visibility, although it still protruded past the parapet level. And also it was created as a symmetrical ridged roof. So both those things, they kind of belt and suspenders approach, did both of the commission asked at that time. And the window that was out of alignment, they had some additional discussion about how that was placed there as an original window, and the alignment had more to do with fire stairwell exiting and so forth. And so the commission didn't voice any concerns with that. So now I just wanted to bring another update to the commission. This is the skylight. You'll see in your packets there are a couple of section drawings and a roof plan drawing. And the design team, due to cost considerations, has, right now anyways, they are still moving forward, elected to move forward with the shed design. However, the pitch has been altered or reduced substantially, and it is below the parapet level. So it's nearly flat. There is a run on it and a rise, but it's nearly flat. But per the commission's instructions, it is not protruding above the parapet. And so at this time, I just wanted to bring that to the commission's attention by way of an update when things change, even though this is within the parameters of what the commission gave its instructions. I just wanted to make sure that you guys were aware of those changes. And that's it I have. That's all I have at this time.
Are there any comments or questions on the presentation by staff concerning the redesign of the skylight? If there are no concerns, there's no action required, so we can move on. All right. And item B, 1021, North 12th, has been stricken from the agenda, which leaves chair comments, and this is, I think, only the second time I've ever made comments. Some of you may know this, but this will be my last meeting after 13 years on the commission. I've elected not to reapply. I have other things coming up for me. Like I was telling Tony as I came in, next month I don't know whether I'll be in a different county, on a different coast, or in a different country. So I thought it best not to reapply and then just walk right out. So this is as clean a break as I can make. Just to give you a brief synopsis, when I was in graduate school, I actually studied urban design. That's what I was more interested in. Though I had met Lawrence Kreisman at university and seen a couple of his presentations, I didn't follow that path. And then about 3 years later, I was working for a small firm that had the South Lake Union Steam Plant as one of the projects, and we were the core and shell firm. No one in the office had ever done restoration drawings. So me being the low man on the totem pole, that was my job. So I and Terry Lundeen, a structural engineer who you know, he and I worked out most of the details because though it was in really good shape, it had failing spandrel panels, failing parapet walls, and some of the terracotta ornament was starting to fall off of it. So I learned a lot doing that project, and also about the restoration of steel windows doing that. And it wasn't more than about 4 years later that I was working here in Tacoma, and I ended up, the firm I was working for put in a bid for the Schoenfelds building. And because of my experience, we got that job. And I started on that project and followed it through all the way to the end. And it was quite by accident. Actually, my second job out of graduate school, I worked with Valerie Savinsky. And she was the first person that really introduced me to Landmarks Preservation. And and she was very good to me, and very a very good manager and very good architect. And it's strange that I would be the one that put forth the motion to name one of the local scholarships after her. And with that, I would like to thank the many people I've worked with in the about 13 years. Three Landmarks Preservation officers, Elizabeth Anderson, Jennifer Schreck, and Ruben McKnight. The staff I have worked with, Tony Cook and Donna Bazinski. That is right, isn't it? I always...
Yes.
Okay. All the commissioners that are here, and I will mention a couple of you because I've worked with you both as commissioners and as ex officios. Some of the commissioners I have worked with, and in no specific order, Greg Benton, Phil Hill, Sharon Winters, Jonathan Phillips, Caroline Swope, Ross Buffington, Tim McDonald, Catherine Longwell, Marshall McClintock, Roger Johnson, and Ben Gilbert, who, if you did not know him, was an utter delight to work with. Ben was well into his 80s, he was almost 90 when he was here. I think he was like 87 or so. And he was the former editor of the Washington Post and just happened to move to Tacoma because this is where his daughter moved. And I served with him for, I think, 5 years. And he knew everything about everything and had some of the best stories you've ever heard. And with that, I thank you all. It has been a pleasure. At this point, it makes all the years of commuting back from Seattle on bus either 590 or 594 to make the meeting, leaving at 3 o'clock and trying to dodge my boss on the way, trying to get out the door to make sure I could make these meetings. Makes it all seem worthwhile. And I don't plan to go completely away. I will still be serving the city of Tacoma in some fashion, as this is where I grew up and this is where my family still lives. But once again, I'd like to thank you all. And we'll go to board business now. Preservation planning, item A are annual amendments, and these are action items, and I turn it over to staff.
Okay, so item 5A, annual amendments. Just for the record, the Landmarks Preservation Commission bylaws may be amended annually by voting the first meeting in December, which is this meeting. The enclosed proposed draft bylaws were discussed and recommended by staff at the Commission's meeting on November 15th. Notice was mailed to affected property owners on October 4th, as well as October 31st, 2012, published in the News Tribune on November 7th. A public hearing was conducted on the 14th of November, and then this vote was scheduled for today. And an electronic version of the proposed changes has been available all along on the Tacoma Culture website. So without further ado, item 5.1a, the Commission Rules and Regulations. The proposed amendments are as follows. Amend page 3, section 1, the administrative procedures, B, meetings procedures, A, public meetings, just to change the start time of the meetings to 5:30 p.m. That was discussed previously. No public comment was received for this item. No commission discussion as well. And I can roll through these all if you'd like.
Please do.
Okay. Item 5A2, historic building inventory updates. The two changes are, first, changes to Appendix D, which is the North Slope Historic Review District, to add 1116 North K Street as a non-contributing property. This was built in 2007. And then Section 5, add Appendix E for the Wedge Neighborhood Historic District inventory. We have a couple of notes to make on this. First of all, the 508 South Ainsworth was asked whether or not it should be a contributing structure consistent with the characteristics that it has as a building. Given the other buildings within the historic district, and after further review, staff concurs on that. The building has had its windows changed, but has its exterior envelope and many of its character defining features, including ornamentation, still intact. And so that change is, again, concurred with. The second thing is the question a bit about, I believe it was 409 South M Street, which I could bring it up on a map, but I'll just say it's along M Street on the north western corner, right before 4th Street. There's a series of parcels that are occupied by a daycare facility. This is a parcel that I believe is a playground area. The question is that the odd numbering is supposed to be on the opposite side of the street, the even numbering. So it appears to be out of convention with the addresses there. We did check the inventory records against the Pierce County Assessor's records. The address is correct for that site. So there's either something wrong with the address sequencing there, but as far as the inventory is concerned, it does correctly identify that particular piece, that parcel. And of course, the idea for the inventory is that we make sure that we have all parcels within the district have some sort of status or another. We can follow up with the county assessor's office to look for further corrections on it to find out if there is a like kind of a legacy error there or something like that. But as far as the inventory is concerned, it does accurately reflect the county and city records. So we've located the right spot. That's the information that we have on that. Tony, do you have anything else to add on that?
No. If anyone wants to see where it's located, I have a little snapshot.
Moving right along, I'll shut up and if there's a discussion. Is item 5A3, which is design guidelines updates. just, I'm just going to jump down. The design guidelines, of course, are a total overhaul of the North Slope and Wedge Historic District design guidelines. Just getting to the public comment feedback, we had a couple of comments in support of the guidelines, and we say thank you. Then we also had a substantial or substantive comment, which is an email letter received from Kurt Stoner, who's a property owner within the district, recommending the inclusion of information on brick tuck pointing and maintenance and information on local resources for repairing windows and options for replacement. And so based on that, we wrote a response in the staff report here. Tuck pointing itself doesn't involve removal of bricks, does not require a building permit. So something to categorically exempt from Landmarks Commission review. However, I think that in terms of the design guidelines being an informational document, it is possible to include information in that, just as really general high-level guidance for folks. And so under guidelines for exterior siding and materials, the staff would suggest, if that's the case, that we add a section on maintenance of historic masonry, and you can read the verb, just read it, that mortar and historic masonry should be maintained and get repaired to prevent mortar failure. Tuck pointing or replacement and repair of mortar does not require approval by the Landmarks Preservation Commission. However, the following is recommended to maintain historic masonry: match new mortar with old in color, consistency, and hardness. Note that modern mortars are much harder than historic mortars, which contain a higher proportion of lime and less cement. If a mortar is too hard, it may result in damage to the brick, such as falling. Avoid saw cutting to remove old mortar, or do so very carefully to avoid damaging the bricks. This is fairly straightforward stuff. Repair mortar before bricks can be shifted by hand. That's important. Do not paint on historic unpainted bricks, and the reason why. To clean and remove paint from masonry, use gentle means. Sandblasting is never recommended. And for more information, we reference the National Park Service Preservation Brief 2, which has the, actually, it's not preservation brief, it's a technical preservation bulletin. Repointing mortar joints on historic masonry buildings, which is available free on the internet. So, repair original wood or windows where possible, adding a line, repair of loose or cracked glazing, loose joinery or stuck sashes may be suitable for a carpenter or handy person. Significant rot, deterioration, or reconstruction of failed joints may require the services of a window restoration company. If information is needed regarding vendors that provide these services, please contact the Historic Preservation Office. The city doesn't make recommendations about individual services or contractors. However, we are willing to provide a list of folks we've heard of or that we know are operating locally with no recommendation, but I don't think that's probably something that belongs in design guidelines. Third thing is replace windows with a close visual material match. Add, depending on specific project needs, replacement windows may include sash replacement kits, describing sash replacement kits, and insert window, which and the differences between those two things. And again, I think, you know, without making a recommendation as to which, when you're in that replacement option, just highlighting some of the pros and cons of those two particular approaches, which are generally, I think, the approaches that people will take when they talk about window replacement, as opposed to removing the window frame out of the side of the wall, which is very, very invasive. So I'll offer that up as a suggested amendment. You know, any further discussion or feedback, we'd be happy to incorporate that. And that's all I have for the staff report.
Thank you very much. That's not an actionable line.
But it is.
It is, actually. Yes. All right, is there comment on any portion of items I, double I, or triple I of item A? I move unanimous consent. Are there any objections? Hearing none, the annual amendments are passed. Item B is officer elections. And since I won't be here, I get to nominate whomever I want.
I was
going
to say, you go to drastic measures to avoid doing it again.
That's right. We have basically two offices to fill, and unfortunately both of us are leaving the commission. So, yes. Commissioners that are staying, yes, there are commissioners who are not here who are fair game. So, I would take nominations for Chair of Landmarks Preservation Commission for the ensuing year at this time.
I'm ex officio, so I can't formally make a motion, but I would encourage my commissioners to consider Commissioner House as the chair of the commission. I think he's been on perhaps the longest and certainly has shown an ability to understand and do well on historic preservation matters for the city.
All right. If there is a second from a standing commissioner, that is a nomination for chair. Are there any other nominations?
I would just comment that I don't want to follow in the footsteps of, I think it was Roger, who I'm up for renomination, so I could be potentially elected and not be able to serve, depending on what they decide. Which we can deal with, obviously,
okay,
in the January meeting.
All right, we'll deal with it then.
Go ahead. After we elect, but I was going to suggest that the commission might want to submit a letter in recommendation to City Council with respect to Commissioner House's renomination, pointing out the fact that he's now been elected chair.
Right. I think we'll deal with that directly after. All right, I would consider, if there are no other nominations, let's see, I forgot how the bylaws read, unfortunately.
It's
but
pretty general.
We nominate and elect on this day, or we elect in?
In January.
January, okay. With that, I close nominations for chair, leaving it open until the first meeting in January for elections. And we move on to vice chair nominations. Are there any nominations for vice chair?
Serve as vice chair.
All right. That's
and I would that, second that.
Okay, that would be a good one. Ed Eckley, are there any other nominations? All right, these are our nominations for the ensuing year of 2013, and the nominations will stand open until the election on the first meeting in January. Thank you very much. I think it'll be a very easy election. But you can always tease commissioners that are not here and by saying, hey, guess what? And with that,
should we do the...
I would say I would take a I would take a motion from the floor as to forwarding a letter to City Council stating these are our two commissioners. You're on for another 2 years, or
no?
You're
I'm
up?
Actually up for.
You're up. Both of our commissioners, potential chair and vice chair, are up for reappointment. And need to be considered strongly for the positions of which they are applying.
So moved. Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, we will proceed to vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. All right. I won't be here to sign that letter either, so... staff is going to have to take care of that.
Well, we'll have it drafted pretty quickly because the appointments committee is going to be doing its work soon.
Okay. We have covered all the business that we have this evening. I would, before we adjourn, I would open it up to comments or announcements from commissioners. We have a little, a few things to nibble on before you go out the door, so if you want to linger, that would be good.
I went to camp a couple of weeks ago, which I found to be very interesting, and I also got picked up memory sticks of the outline of the camp, which I'll give to Ruben, and anybody who's interested can get them from him. I think I've picked up a half a dozen of them. So,
yeah. If you want, we could if we have a light agenda one night, we can put it up on screen too and talk through some of the things that they.
Yeah, it really was very good. I encourage anybody if there's an opportunity next year to go that you jump in.
I would concur. I went to camp and enjoyed it thoroughly. Any other announcements?
Well, I just want to say that we will sorely miss you, Mark.
Well, and I don't know about that. But,
I mean, 13 years of experience is
a big hole.
An amazing amount of experience.
Well, I don't know. I think it was you I was telling. No, who was it on the commission? I think it was Megan Luce. Last time or in early November, or sometime in October, that I was trying to remember how long she'd been on, and I said, "Do you remember?" And I'm already remembering things back when we were actually discussing the Elks building, and Mr. Zimmerman was in the fight with the city. You, Ross, you were on that time at that time too.
That was a long time ago.
And we're in the middle of a hearing, and Mr. Zimmerman is shouting obscenities at Sharon Winters, who was the current chair. And it was a packed house in there, and you have, like, TNT reporters, and it was an interesting time, you know. And we have changed, and we have changed for the better. It has gotten better literally I would say, just about every year. It keeps evolving, and I hope it continues. We have just gotten better. I was kind of disorganized, I have to tell you, about 1999 when I came on. And about, we started talking about three meetings after that, what can we can do to make this better, make historic preservation not only better at the city level, but as a broader outreach, and how can we have advocacy in the city. And I have to commend Sharon Winters, because she has done so much in this city. And she was a prime mover from about 2002 on, and particularly when it came to schools and other public and private buildings. She was a very strong voice, and not only a strong voice, she was willing to get out in the community and talk to just about anyone who would listen. And I love her dearly. I think she's great. Anyway. With that, we are adjourned.